you're always with us. And we thank you, Lord God, for your example through Jesus Christ. We thank you for our redemption through him. But Father, we thank you that it's through faith that we are pleasing to you. In fact, your faith is your gift to us. The faith that you provide is your gift to us. And Father, as we study this chapter in Hebrews this evening, Lord God, you're going to manifest what that faith has done and brought to each one of these Old Testament saints and what it's brought to us. So we just give you praise, Lord God, as we open this chapter. And thank you, Lord God, for manifesting your faith through us, because that's why you're talking about it, is so that your faith might be manifest through us, that we might live by faith, that without faith it's impossible to please you. And Lord God, by faith, we are pleasing to you, and not only through Jesus Christ. So we give you the praise and the thanksgiving for revealing these things to us in a way in which will cause us to grow up. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when we start out here, so much of the faith teaching has taken this and made faith out to be like silly putty. You know? In other words, you get a little bit of faith and you kind of mold it into a new car, or you mold it into something, you know, you kind of make it into whatever it is you think you need. You just kind of get that. God gave you the measure of faith, and the measure of faith is like modeling clay. And you just put it into whatever form you need. And actually, the way you do that is you stick it in your mouth.
Stick it in the mouth.
Yeah, because it comes out of your mouth because you talk. You know, you say this, and you say that, and you create. You know, like Brother Capps, he'll tell you, faith is a creative force. Well, in the regard that he's talking about, I don't know that it's so much a creative force as it is. What it does is begin to create in me the kingdom of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is it that we're hoping for? What is it that we're hoping for with regard to what we've read here in the prior chapters that are bringing these things, bringing this kingdom of God into our possession? We want to be in possession of the things which faith provides. But faith, what it does provide, is an entrance into what? Into the kingdom of heaven, doesn't it? Faith provides an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Not just, you know, an entrance into the kingdom of heaven's inventory and stockpiles, but for you and me to step into the kingdom of heaven out of this world. Because he said that we're a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. Old things have... It doesn't look like it. You look in your mirror, and what do you see? You see this thing. I mean, you know, it doesn't sound like that's right, does it? He says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What do you behold? You behold what he said. You behold what he said about you. You meditate on these new things that God has provided and what he's established in his word as to what the new man looks like. What does the new man look like? Well, the new man looks like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of the fruit of the Spirit. These are what the new man looks like. The new man does not look like adulteries and evil surmisings and all of the things that, you know, you can go back into Galatians chapter 5 and really does kind of set up a contrast of here. The works of the flesh are these, which are obvious, which are apparent, and the fruit of the Spirit is, and it gives describing the fruit of the Spirit, which is the fruit of the Spirit is describing you in the Spirit. Amen? It describes the new man. So now we're here when we begin in chapter 11. We can back up and say, okay, what's he saying here? And where are we coming from? We were talking about how Jesus was the better provision, the better covenant, the founded upon the better promises. He says here in the 38th verse of chapter 10, "Now the just shall live by faith." How do you do that? What's that? Well, he's going to take you into that. He's going to give you an example after example of what it is to live by faith. Does he give us examples of perfect people? No. In fact, his examples of living by faith are not even born-again New Testament people. Very interesting. He doesn't say, now faith is like me and Peter and John. Isn't it interesting that he doesn't take that direction? But in fact, for talking about faith, he does not describe New Testament people. He describes Old Testament people. How interesting that faith is exampled by Old Testament patriarchs. Not perfect people, but Old Testament people who failed many times. But here, let's look at it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The assurance, that we've looked up that word. Pastor Jim's talked about it recently. It's the assurance. Again, it's not like the silly putty of things hoped for. The building blocks of things hoped for, but he's talking about the things that which we expect, though we have not yet seen. What are the things that we have expect and not yet seen? Sounds to me like the works of the flesh versus the works of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. What are the things hoped for, and this is the evidence of things not seen, is that you look and you don't see what he's already said that you have. He said that you have something, but you have not yet seen it. So where do you look? You look according to his promise. You look into this word of God. You look into the, like James says, you look into the perfect law of liberty. And you keep looking at that. You don't become a forgetful hearer, that you become a doer of the work. You become a fruit bearer, don't you? So, the just shall live by strength. No. The just shall live by sight. No. The just shall live by faith. What is faith? Believing what God already said. Amen? It's believing what God's already put in place. But what is faith? You are saved by faith, you are by grace, you are saved. Through faith. By grace, you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So you're saved by grace through faith. And that's not something you dreamed up. It's not something you conjured up. Not something you manufactured. But it's something that it was given to you as a gift. So I'm going to take that gift that God gave me, I'm going to believe that he is going to finish what he started. Philippians 1:6, he says, that thing which he began in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? He said he's going to complete it. Who's going to complete it? You? No. He's going to complete it. So he's going to complete this work. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's what I have to grasp. It's a gift that God has given me. It's like a net. It's like a claw. It's like something that God has given me to grapple and to grasp and to take hold of what he has promised, what he has provided. Amen? If you're going fishing, a lot of times, what do they use in the olden Bible days to go fishing? What do they use today? They use nets, something to get a hold of the catch that was out there. So we're gathering. Your faith is the net that allows us to grab hold, and God provided the net. He provided the finished product by which we're saved, but he also provided the means for us to appropriate it. which was faith. Because we couldn't even appropriate what he'd done. We couldn't even go get what he had done. No man could even come unless the Father draw him. Has he drawn, as his desire that all men be saved, all come to the knowledge of the truth. So he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. The evidence of things that are not seen. Now we'll have a little more definition of that here in just a moment. For by it the elders. Now, if we were to go back to the book of Joshua, it talks about when the elders of the nation of Israel sent the spies across the River Jordan into the city of Jericho to spy out the land. Hey, let's see if we can take the land. Let's see if we can get in there. See if we can, you know, God said we're going to take the land. We'll send some guys in there, see what it's going to take. So he did. They sent 12 guys in there.
The spies?
The spies, yeah, the spies. Went to spy out the land. Well, Jericho.
The Philistines.
That's the Canaanites, the land of Canaan. Yeah, huh? They are giants. We are grasshoppers in their sight. So we had 12 guys go over there, and two of them were like close to 80 years old, Joshua and Caleb. Well, Joshua and Caleb came back, a couple of senile old men is what you think. Says, yeah, we're well able to take them. You bet, yeah, let me at them. And of course, the other guys were probably about 60. They said, like, you old men are crazy. You old men are just out of your ever-loving. They probably thought they had Alzheimer's or something. Because they came back over, and the other guys, man, oh, they got the greatest grapes. They were describing the beauty of the land, the abundance of the land, the amazing provision in the land, but there's only one hitch. There's giants in the land. Goliath? No. That's way on down the road. But this one is where they're going over there. And they come back. But it says here that by faith, the elders, now what that's talking about is the elders of the tribes of Israel. The elders of Israel, that is, each of the tribes had elders. Reuben and Chad. Reuben and, all the tribes of Israel, Gad, Daniel, or Dan, all the tribes of Israel. And they all had elders of each tribe. And now Moses, of course, was the prophet. And so when they come back over, they come back across. And it says here, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Well, see, by faith, you're going to get a good report, aren't you? Amen? Now, a lot of time we're in, let me go back and finish the little story. So, by faith, the elders obtained a good report because Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report. A report, hey, we're well able to take them. Not a problem. Not a problem. Our God is with us. Now, the other 10 spies were like, well, it's a great land, but I don't think we have the resources. You know, I think we're outmanned and outgunned. But Caleb and Joshua said, no, we are well able. The Lord is well able to deliver them into our hands. So the elders like that report. That's the report they like. They like the report that says, the Lord is faithful. Amen? Now, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So by faith, you and I obtain a good report. Did you know that? You know, by faith we can, you know, by our sight, we do this all the time. By our sight, we size up the giants in the land, don't we? We size up the job opportunities. We size up our resources. And in the Scripture, it also tells you that it's wise. A wise man, before he builds a tower, he's going to count the cost. You estimate the cost, see if he's able to complete it. But here in these cases, when God says you're going to do something, and then you're busy counting the cost when He didn't tell you to count the cost. He's busy telling you, listen to me. Obey me. Like, for instance, the story with Elijah and his servant out there. You know, they had the armies of the enemies out beyond them, and they see the armies lined up on two sides, and then the guy is shaking in his boots, the little guy, and Elijah says, those that be with us are more than be with them. He said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, Willis? He said, open the young man's eyes, and behold, the young man saw the host of heaven encamped around about all of the enemy, all of the enemy's host. And then, in fact, the army of the Lord, the Lord's host, caused confusion to reign in the troops of the enemy. And they began to kill one another. They began to just run. See, in some cases, God tells you, stand your ground. Remember Jehoshaphat? He said, you know, here's all the host. You know, they're more than us. But He says, stand still and see the glory of God. Send the singers out in front. Of course, the singers aren't real excited about it. Now sing with all your might. You know. Praise the Lord. Yeah, just these singers are not real excited. But you send those singers out. And He said, have them sing. And the enemy ran in confusion. See, God makes you more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors through Him that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen? Amen? Yes. So it says, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. See, if Caleb and Joshua had not had faith, they would have come back with the same report as the other 10. But the elders got themselves a good report because of faith. Now, verse 3 says, through faith, we understand. Through faith, we understand. That's powerful. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Well, somebody's going to come teach faith these days in the public schools, and people are going to go, ah, nonsense. Because why? They have no faith. They have no faith. See, it says here, through faith we understand. Faith gives you understanding, doesn't it? Faith gives you an understanding. Faith gives you a means by which to grasp the kingdom of God. You did not have a means by which to grasp the kingdom of God except God had provided it to you. Right? You'll be able to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about a gift called the discerning of spirits. That gift of discerning of spirits is also evident in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, is that the carnal man cannot understand the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they're only perceived by the Spirit of God. So through faith alone, we can understand. You can tell somebody all day long. They'll try to figure out where a rock came from and how many millennia old it is. You know why people don't like hearing about that God created the heavens and the earth? Because they don't buy it. They don't believe it. It's beyond their capacity. Because they live by their mind. Now, it is in them because God has given them the gift of faith. It is in them to believe, but they refuse to believe because they allow this world to rule. Anything that they cannot see, for we walk by sight, not by faith. Amen? We walk by sight, says the world, not by faith. The kingdom of God says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, is that twofold? Yes, it is. Is that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God? that is the word of God, the declaration of God, and he has said and told us exactly what he did. And by faith, we can receive that. So he said, through faith we understand. And then by also, just those the just the story itself is a story, is the declaration of God over the declaration of men. Now, here he begins to go, okay, now one more thing, is that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Well, that's even bigger. That's even more broad than we first would know. I mean, by faith, it's one thing to believe that God created the heavens and the earth, but to give a more definitive description that he created the heavens and the earth ex nihilo, out of nothing. He created the heavens and the earth out of things which did not appear. What is the first law of matter? What's the first law of mass and matter? Is that matter is never neither created nor destroyed. That's our understanding. God creates matter. God creates those things which do not exist. He creates them out of nothing. Well, you nonsense. No, that's as much understanding as you have. We define the laws of the universe as we understand them. Science is wonderful. Science is great. Science says what can be proven. God says what is that cannot be proven. Science goes in and defines the forces of the nature of the universe that existed since God created the heavens and the earth. Science goes and discovers the science behind gasoline, the science behind space flight, the science behind medicine that we see. Science finds, but what it discovers is what can be done with the things that do appear. God does things with things that do not appear, which do not exist. God is above nature, supernatural. We deal with the natural. It's powerful. It's awesome. Science is great until it begins to try to define God, or to try to define creation without it. Yeah, because they can't prove it, so they choose to ignore it, or they choose to disprove it. But they can do neither. They can't ignore it, and they can't disprove it, because they don't have any way to recreate the creation. And so what they begin to do is define things according to their own knowledge. But here it specifically describes they want to define things according to the laws of matter that God set in place post-creation or at creation. They have no knowledge or understanding or way to have knowledge or understanding of anything that occurred to create the creation. Because God was outside the creation when he created it. And God is outside of creation even now. God is not created. He is outside of creation. Something that occurred, I think I talked about it last time I taught on Sunday morning, is God is not only big, but God is small. The universe, as we look at it, and we look out beyond, look out at the stars, we look out at into the cosmos, we think big, right? Big bang, like even the scientists. You know what's funny is the scientists even have to say it. They have to say big bang. You know, it's a big bang. Because I know it's big. The universe is big. So assume a big bang. Well, what came together to make the bang? You had to have something that was turning and churning to make a bang. Where'd that come from? Oh, we don't know. See, you can never go back to the beginning. And in a way, in the same way, you can never go back, you can never go to the small. We look at the creation of life. We look at the abortion issue. And of course, back in the early days, you know, the idea of whether life begins at conception or not. How far back can you go? How small can you go? When does life begin? You see? And they have become closer, get closer and closer to demonstrating, especially with the DNA, that how intricate and how small the forces of life are. The forces of life are infinitesimally small. And if you were to go into an atom, we thought atoms. And then we saw, we discovered now there's protons and neutrons and electrons. So we've gotten inside that. Now there's even smaller particles that we get inside. The smaller particles. God is even smaller than the smallest particle. Inner space is as vast as outer space. You will never get to the bottom of the inside of creation any more than you'll get to the bottom of the outside of creation. Anybody ever, I hate to bring this up. Anybody ever seen Men in Black? You remember the galaxy? Well, the galaxy was the little pendant hanging around the cat's neck. At the end of the movie, you start looking into the galaxy. Well, inside the galaxy, which is a little tiny pendant, no bigger than, so it's a little round thing, a little round piece of jewelry hanging on a cat's neck. Well, you have that little round piece of jewelry. Well, if that was the universe, or what was it, the universe? Maybe it was the universe. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, so you got this little thing no bigger than a marble hanging around a cat's neck, and that's the universe. How small is that? How big is that small universe? If that's the universe, how small is it? And how small can it get? The reason I say these things is that God is both the master of the great and of the small. God is eternal and infinite, large and small. He is infinite. Infinite doesn't have large or small, does it? Infinite is large and small. Sound like a philosopher, don't I? But it's powerful to know that we exist in a universe that was created by God, out of nothing. And it's infinite in its scope. I'm right in the middle. It's as much bigger than me and smaller than me. Through faith we understand. Now you'd think, well, I don't know that I quite understand. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. See, our hope and our faith, it gives us the capacity through Him to believe in the infinite. I believe in the infinite. I believe that God is fully infinite, fully capable. And He is fully capable of causing me to exist and to dwell in such a universe and to enjoy it and to be part of it and to be His sons and daughters. Amen? We're living in a television box. Consider the size of if a world was in the television. I mean, it's kind of where we live. We live in the television. There's a world. How many know there's a world outside of television? If you're like me, you've been sucked into that little television world. Just kind of look at it right there. Man, you're just like sucked into that. But how many know that if you'll live life out here, this world is much more exciting than television. This world is more... Now, some people would say, no. No, listen. This world is much more exciting than television. Because you'll never live in television. You'll, in fact, waste away in television. Amen? You will waste yourself in television. You will waste yourself in being entertained. You'll waste yourself being entertained. I've done that. Wasted myself being entertained. And you know what you get afterwards? Nothing. You just lost a lot of, you lost a lot of time. 3 faith, we understand. See, you have a life that God has given you, and He is constantly producing life through you. You are filled with the life of God. You're filled with the life of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now watch this. Now we'll begin to have examples. We'll begin to have examples of what God did through faith. See, it's not these men who had faith. It's God who creates the faith. Who gives the faith? God. God gives the faith, doesn't He? Doesn't He produce the faith in you? Or doesn't He deposit it? It's part of your makeup, your existence. By faith, Abel, remember Abel? Abel was the second son of Adam and Eve. You'll remember that Abel and Cain both made sacrifice. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Let's read it for a minute. Look over in Genesis chapter 4. Okay, chapter 4, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare Abel, his brother, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Abel and to his offering, but to Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? If you do not well, sin lies at the door. And to you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. And Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass they were in the field, and Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said to Cain, where's Abel your brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. He said, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What was the difference in Cain's offering and Abel's offering? This tells you right here. By faith. Abel offered an offering of faith. Cain offered an offering of works. They both worked. They both worked. They both had a job. But your offering cannot be an offering of your work, a presentation of your good deeds, of your ability. Your offering is a result of faith. Your offering is a result of what God does, not a result of what you do. When you come before God with His provision, not with your provision. God made the provision in the New Testament, in the Gospels. Who provided the talents? Who provided the talents? The Lord. The Lord provided the means by which the gain was, by which any gain was made. The Lord provided the seed. God provides the faith. God provides the means by which He will receive your offer. By faith, huh? God provides the faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Only by faith. Otherwise, they were equal. One's his job, one's his job. What's the difference? Faith. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Because of faith. Because he trusted God. Because he had hope in God. Because he had relationship with God. Because he was not, because he was not attempting to make a, be pleasing to God in his own strength. Attempting to be pleasing to God in your own strength did not work anymore in the Old Testament before the law. How many know that Abel was before the law? You know? Abel was before the law. Offered sacrifice to God. There wasn't any law that said you sacrifice to God except the law of his dad. How many know that Adam and Eve were provided coats of skins for their nakedness by the Lord? Where did those skins come from? Yes, they had a seamstress. That's right. No, the Lord provided that through a sacrifice. No, that was their idea. Fig leaf was their idea. God Himself provided them coats of skins. The skins came obviously from an animal, didn't they? Came from a sacrifice. So they had an example. The boys had an example of sacrifice. I don't doubt that because of the job that Cain had, that even in that day, it could have been that he needed an animal. Maybe he had a favorite goat that he didn't want to kill. I don't know. You know, when you're a tiller, when you're a keeper of the sheep, you got more than one sheep. When you're a tiller of the ground, you probably don't have quite as many animals. You don't want to let go of one or two of them. You know? Right here. Right. So here we have the word that says, by faith, Abel offered to God. It didn't say because by sacrifice of an animal. It didn't complain about the type of a sacrifice because, again, offering of the first fruits. Offering of the first fruits was a common thing before the law. So, the offering of the first fruits Cain brought. But he did not bring it by faith. He goes, how do I know? Because here's what he just said. He says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That was the difference. By faith, not by works.
Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11. By faith. Now, don't cuss on the tape. Well, that's good. Praise the Lord. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. So, in other words, he obtained a witness because God said in that day that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's. Here he says why? By faith. And so he obtained entrance into this book. He obtained entrance into this chapter. This is the witness of God. Right here. This is the witness of God that Abel had did a better sacrifice than Cain. Right here. It's like Mary breaking the ointment over Jesus' feet. Is that this will be made a testimony for her throughout the ages. Well, this is a testimony of Abel throughout the ages, is that he pleased God. How did he please God? By faith. How do you please God? By faith. So, you know, if you'll read his word, if you'll raise your hands, if you'll pray in tongues, worship God, thou shalt worship the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. How do you do that? By faith. You do it by faith. How would you do it if you didn't have any faith? You wouldn't do it. You know what? You do have faith and you still don't do it. Huh. Go figure. It's because you don't believe your own faith. You don't believe. You're doubting the faith because you're looking at your circumstances. You're doubting what God gave you because you're looking at your circumstances. You're looking at your trouble. He said, be of good cheer. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen? He said, I've overcome the world. And you're in me. In him we live, and we move, and we have our being. You know, that's a walk of faith, isn't it? Otherwise, I feel like, yeah, wish I knew where God was. No, you're in him. And when you're in him, you're living. And in him, you're moving. And in him, you're having your being. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. That's right. By faith, Enoch. Enoch was translated. What does that mean? He disappeared. He's gone. Poof. Enoch was not seen. After a certain amount of time, he walked with God. Again, we can look at Genesis chapter 5. And we will come down here a few generations down from we're on 11:5 now. Hebrews 11:5, and I'm turning over to Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Okay? Let's back up to verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years. So he's 162 years old and he had a son. That guy's pretty lively, isn't he? Yeah. Pretty lively fella. And Jared lived lived what? 962 years. He must have been almost the second longest liver. Because Methuselah, you remember, he lived 969 years. Methuselah? He's on down here. He, in fact, was the son of Enoch. You're thinking Medusa. That's a whole other story. Now listen here. Here's very interesting here. Okay, so Jared lived 162 years and he fathered Enoch. And Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and fathered sons and daughters more. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. Well, see, I didn't even have to add that. The Bible did it for me. And he died. And Enoch lived 65 years. So he got started a lot earlier. Enoch lived 65 years. And he fathered who? Methuselah. Very interesting. So Jared lived 962 years. Then he bore Enoch. Or at least he fathered Enoch. And then Enoch fathered Methuselah, who lived 969 years. The longest, oldest guy in the Bible was the son of Enoch. Now, what's Enoch's claim to fame? No, wrong guy. That's Noah. So Enoch lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years. Whoa, that's not very much. And fathered, so his dad lived 800 years. Lived 300 years and fathered sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. That's interesting. How many days in a year? 365 days. I have no idea what the significance of that might be. He says, 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. So verse 22 said, Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years. Didn't say he walked with God before Methuselah, did it? That must have been quite a boy. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years. So from the time he was 65 years old, he walked with God. I don't know if he walked with God before that, but it says from the time he was 65 years old, he walked with God. And he walked with God 365 years. So he walked 300 years after he with God, 300 years after he fathered Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. So he walked with God for 300 years, and then he disappeared. It does not say he died. He said, "See, everybody else said, he died, he died, he died, he died, he died, everybody died. This guy didn't die." Back to Hebrews. Chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch translated. What does that mean? It means he was not. That he should not see death. Well, you know, you could look back at the scripture there and say, he was not. Well, that just means something else. No, here in Hebrews he says exactly what it means, what it's translated means. It means he did not see death. The guy did not die. Somebody said the two witnesses ought to be Enoch and Elijah, because neither one of them died. Now Jim and Robert think it's them. I'm just kidding. I think they just want to hang out. Huh? Just kidding. I don't know if I'd want to be the two witnesses. Do you? Be a great claim to fame, but you do get killed, you remember. But then you get raised from the dead. How much fun is that? By faith, ain't it? By faith. By faith. By faith. How do you walk with God? Otherwise, you just kind of walk. You had to listen to the tape now. You got here late, brother.
A quick review?
Faith is assurance. Faith is a gift. Faith is belief. That's right. That's right. Faith is, but faith, not, it's not just human belief. Like a lot of time, when you remember what Thomas said, unless I see, I won't believe. Jesus told him, be not faithless, but believing. You can believe and have faith, or you can believe, be a believer type, but that type of believer requires sight. God said, believe before you see. Believing before you see, that's faith. Not believing after you see. You can believe after you see. Unless I see, I will not believe. See, a lot of people believe after they see. Faith is believing before you see. Faith is believing only by the Word of God. If you back up a little bit, R.A., it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We're talking about the creation of the universe. Is that scientists can't figure it out because they have nothing to base it on. They have nothing they can prove. All right, back to this, verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. Dad, where are you? Methuselah, looking around for Dad. Dad, where are you? Methuselah was out there looking for Dad. Now, if I went back here just a second to take one more look at this thing. See, Methuselah lived 187 years, and then he fathered Lamech. So see, during his first 187 years, Enoch was walking with God. And he walked with God all the way until Methuselah was 300 years old. Methuselah had his first son when he was 187. So, in fact, then Lamech, the son of Methuselah, lived 182 years, and he fathered a son. Well, Lamech fathered his first son after Grandpa was gone. Because 180-some-odd and 180-some-odd, that's 360-some-odd. So just interesting to follow those progressions of time. Is that so? Lamech lost his grandpa before he ever fathered his son. Lamech's son never had a grandpa. His grandpa went on to be with the Lord. So because God had we're second part of verse 5 here in Hebrews 11. Because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony. You remember, Abel had a testimony. Here's Enoch's testimony, that he was known, that he walked with God. See, we hear about his testimony, don't we? We hear about this. This is the testimony of who? This is the testimony of God. Through the prophet. Through the apostle. Because God translated him, for before his translation, that is his being taken up, his departing this world into the kingdom of heaven. If you want to call it a dimensional shift, I don't care what you call it. He's out of this world and into the world to come. It's out of the presence of this world into the presence of God.
Is that a paradigm shift?
I'm sure it is. 5-speed. 5-speed paradigm shift. Because God had translated him before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What was his testimony? What was the witness of his testimony? That he what? Pleased God. Verse 6 says it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Enoch pleased God. Why? By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Enoch was translated. Enoch walked so closely with God. Somebody said, Enoch and God out walking one day, and they were out quite a ways from the house. And God said, well, you want to go to your house or you want to go to my house? And he said, let's go, we'll go to your house. And away he went. Didn't go back home, he went to God's house.
Why did he like Enoch so much?
By faith. By faith. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. He loved God, he walked with him. I'm believing Enoch reminded God of Adam in the old days. Remember how Adam used to walk with God in the cool of the garden? Yeah, till Eve came. No. No, God would come down and walk in the garden with both of them in the cool of the day. God likes air conditioning. He walked. Remember, you notice God didn't show up until the cool of the day? I think it was like Texas. Because you had to wait till the cool of the day to be out in the garden. But he had this testimony. But without faith, it is impossible that it please God. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God, listen to this. For without faith, it is impossible. Possibility. For with God, nothing shall be impossible, Jesus said. But look at this, what this says. There's something that's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So the one way to please God, what is it? All things are, with men things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That's right. Mm-hmm. But with God, all things are possible. What did I say? That's right. So as far as it's with you, it would be impossible for you to please God. So God provided the means by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8. Never. Never. No. You have free choice. You have a free choice. God's not making you do anything. Now you could be a puppet of you'll come closer to being a puppet of the devil. Because he's got you wrapped around his little, your mind wrapped around his little finger. The devil will say something, and you'll just. Because he says things that are of this world. Because he's designed this world, hasn't he? After his own image. The enemy's designed this world to destroy me, to keep me from God, to keep me from His presence. But God snookered the guy. If he had known what was going to happen, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. There was a door open to me. A door of faith. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. So two things. If you come to God, anybody that would come to God, which is impossible apart from Him providing the faith. It is impossible for you to have faith, but God provided the faith. For he that comes to God must believe that He exists. We have people, most of the earth today, want to claim in direct opposition to their eternal being, even though they do not know God, that God has already showed Romans chapter 1. He's showed it to them. He's demonstrated himself even in the world. And there is a part of you in this world, even in this body of this flesh, and in your mind, that cannot deny that God is God, that He created this world. But the enemy has deceived this world so that they will say there is no God. But even though you know from the heart that that is not true, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. But that heart is not the heart that God provided you. That heart, that innermost being, every man knoweth that God exists. And the glory of the universe has shown it. But because the fool says in his heart, or he will agree with the enemy, oh, there's no God. Oh, yeah, there's no God. There's no God. Oh, there's no God. Because what believing in God, as far as the enemy is concerned, if you believe in God, God will cramp your style. God's only interest is making a puppet out of you. That's the enemy lying to you. God's only desire is for you to know Him in His fullness and be fully what God created you to be. A full human being is one who is filled with the Holy Spirit and who demonstrates and exhibits the fruit of the Spirit as evidenced by the indwelling Spirit of the living God. Man and woman were designed to be one. You and God were designed to be one. You're designed to be the bride. If there is a groom, a bridegroom, and a bride, what do they do? What happens to them? They become one. They become one, don't they? In Him we move, live, and move, and have our being. Enoch was beginning to discover that, wasn't he? Enoch was beginning to discover that. That relationship with God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. So even if you don't think you believe that He is, you do. Even if you have doubts that you believe that He is, you still do. Amen? I want you to know that today, you believe that God is. Here's another thing that you believe. That He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You diligently seek Him, you'll receive a reward. You'll receive the reward of His presence. Did Enoch receive a reward? He did. He translated. He moved out of this world into the world to come. What are you going to do? You're going to move out of this world. You've already done it, in fact, haven't you? You've already moved out of this world from the heart. But now daily from your in your soul, you are moving out of this world into the world to come. Amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
In Him I live and I move and I have my being. But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith. And you got to remember Noah? Okay. We'll stop after Noah today. But let's look at Noah. Genesis chapter 6. A Oh yeah, it's about 40 verses. So here, you had Lamech. And remember, Lamech was the son of Methuselah, who was the son of Enoch. So Lamech was the grandson of Enoch. Now Lamech lived 182 years. This is back in chapter 5 of Genesis, toward the end, verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and fathered a son. You know what the son's name was? Noah. So Noah is the great-grandson of the guy who went to be with God. That's right. Now, we remember that Lamech must have seen had not yet born his first child. Lamech had not yet born Noah. Noah was not yet born when Enoch was taken up. Enoch was born about 60 years, or 60 some odd years, or excuse me, Noah was born 60 some odd years after Enoch was translated. All right? So Noah never knew Enoch. Now most of these guys knew their great-great-great-grandfather. Okay? Most of these guys, it's said that Noah may have even met Shem, or at least Shem, or not Shem, but Seth. Remember, the third son of many, of Adam and Eve. It's said that Noah may have known Shem. I said it again, didn't I? May have known Seth. No, Seth. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, tripping over my genealogies here. So Noah is the Noah was born after Enoch went up, but I'm sure you heard about great grandpa, great gramps. So he called his name Noah. And we'll go on down. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Well, Noah waited a long time. And it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, this is chapter 6, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, but that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120. So he's cutting these people down. So he's cutting this long life thing. He's cutting it down. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, slept with them, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, men of renown, like Hercules or something. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every man, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man was going downhill. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy the man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repents me that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And perfect doesn't mean perfect.
Do you think Enoch has something to do with Noah finding grace?
Only by the testimony. Because he didn't know the man.
No, but it was his heritage.
It is his heritage. But it doesn't come through blood, does it? We know that all Israel is not Israel. Israel is only Israel. True Israel is only Israel by faith. You and me are Israel. Now you don't get it through.
It was still the promise.
That's true, but you don't get it through the genes. You get it by faith. You don't get it through the blood. You get it through faith. Amen? No, it's scripture. You don't get it because your daddy was a good Christian. You get it by faith alone. Keep going. And Noah fathered three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. He did. He fathered three more. No, it was the same one. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence to them, and I will destroy them with the earth. Then he told him how to build the ark. And Noah did, verse 22, according to all that God had commanded him. And then he told him to put everything in, put everybody in, all the animals into the ark. Cubits, yeah, all the cubits. That's right. Mm-hmm. And let's see here. Taking a look at this thing. Hang on just a second. So see, what happened is the rain began to fall and God closed up Noah in that ark. All right, so evil was on the face of the earth. Noah was the only guy who was saved, he and his family. All right, so now we're back in chapter 11 of Hebrews. So by faith, number one, Noah doesn't know what an ark is. Anybody ever hear Bill Cosby? What's an ark? No. I mean, it is. But you only know that because you read the Bible. So he says here, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as seen, not as seen yet, moved with fear. He feared God. What's another aspect of faith? What does faith produce? Fear. Fear of God. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How many know the people came before, came out to see what Noah was doing? How many know that it had not yet rained upon the earth? It had not yet rained upon the earth. A mist went up from the ground and watered everything. It did not rain. Nobody had ever seen rain. Hey, we're going to have a flood. It's going to rain. It's going to what? The rain had never fallen. But the whole world was watered by a mist coming up from the ground.
And with the whole world was in a state of chaos?
Not then. People-wise, yes. If you're talking about people, yes. The only thought, the thought of all men was only evil continually. Well, it sounds like today, doesn't it? Jesus said it, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the end of the age. We're almost there. But God promised he wasn't going to flood the earth anymore. Yeah, but he promised he was going to burn it. He don't need nuclear. God's got stuff that's better than nukes. Fire and brimstone, baby. Yeah, he hadn't lost the recipe for fire and brimstone. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear. By faith, he moved with fear. Isn't that interesting? By faith, he moved with fear. You know, if you don't fear God, I'd go back to faith and say, I fear God. You know, if you're not doing the things that God told you to do because you don't fear God, anybody like that? You feel like you don't fear God? You're just a rebel? You're a rabble-rouser? You know what? God's put on the inside of you faith. Faith to fear Him. He's put on the inside of you faith to fear Him. I say, God, I want to fear You. I want to have a fear of God. What kind of fear do I want? What kind of fear do I really want? I want to have the fear of God. I want to have God be so real and so big and so powerful, so merciful, so mighty, so big. That He is to me more than all of this world. That He is to me more than all of this world. That's fear of God. Fear of God is when this world, in the face of this world, the world is meaningless. Because you dwell in the presence of God. That's the fear of God. When in the presence of the world, you still serve God. That's the fear of God. You ever been afraid of your peers? Like when you're a kid, you did things that were to please your peers? Because you were more afraid of your peers than you were of your parents at the moment. But see, God is always with me. And I want to be fearful of Him at every moment. I want to be full of the fear of God. Not fear unto, as if He will destroy me because He hates me, but fear so that I know that if I displease Him, I've destroyed myself. If I were to displease God, I would have missed out on His blessing. That's the fear of God. Amen? If I were to not walk by faith, I'd lose my inheritance. Not eternally, but I lose a portion of my inheritance. I lose the inheritance that I would receive by walking with God now because I chose the bowl of pottage instead of choosing to walk with God. That's the fear of God that I want. Amen? God, let me walk in Your fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of His house. Well, He must have believed that something was coming. Why would you do it? You never heard of rain before. Why would you think you needed to save your house? If there was a threat coming that was never heard of before. Hey, you're going to get hit by a nuke. Build a bomb shelter. It's kind of like, what's a nuke? You know what I'm saying? You're not going in World War, we're going in the Civil War. So build a bomb shelter. They're going to nuke us. What? They're going to what us? There wasn't any nuke. There wasn't any flood. There wasn't any rain. Build a shelter for something that's never been heard of, against a weapon that's never been heard of, by the which. See, He condemned this world, but He saved His family by listening, by fearing God and walking by faith and listening to God, even in the face of something he didn't even understand. God will tell you, perhaps, to do something you have no idea. There's no threat. You didn't even know that there was anything to fear. You didn't know that there was a threat there. But He'll set you in a place to deliver you from a threat you don't even know exists. Amen? You believe that? But if you'll fear Him, you'll hear Him. If you'll fear Him, you'll hear Him. Lord, we just praise You and thank You for this Word of God. Thank You for this Word by faith. That we're living by faith. That these men lived by faith. Before Jesus, was manifest in the flesh. They lived by faith. And we worship you. Thank you that you're teaching us how to walk in the fear of God. Touch us. Hallelujah. Touch us with your word. Let us fear you. I want to fear you. I want to fear you and not this world. I want to fear you and not my peers. I want to fear you and not my own fear of losing this world. Fear of losing my own life. He that loses his life will find it. He that keepeth his life will lose it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, may you be made complete, always restored.